Good morning, brothers and sisters. The reading this morning comes from Paul's letters to the Colossians, chapter 2, verses 16 to 23. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions by the unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are all destined to perish with us, with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ron, very much. I wonder if you've ever had this experience. You come into church, you look around, and you think, oh bother, they've got it all together, and my Christian life is a mess. I wonder if you've ever had that feeling of inferiority. It's very easy for us, isn't it, to have a picture of what the real godly Christian looks like. It's very easy for us to have a hierarchy of how well we're doing and to come in and put on the mask that says, I've got my Christian life together, just like I imagine you all have. The Christians at Colossae had such a problem. Their confidence had been undermined and they were beginning to feel they were second-class citizens. The reason for that was what we began to look like with last week, as Darren explained, that there were teachers who were encouraging them to go back, to settle for something other than Christ, a Christ plus. And that had made them feel second-class citizens. What was happening was that the false teachers were criticizing the Christians. And if you receive criticism enough, you begin to believe it's true. And so they began to believe that they lacked real spiritual life, that their church was not as it should be, that they didn't have everything they needed, that they were unimpressive. And so they began to feel that they weren't as good as everybody else. We find it very easy, I think, to look around and go, what a terrible Christian I am. Now, that's been true all through church history, that churches and individuals have put extra things onto Christ to say, if you're a real Christian, this is what you need. So you need to be baptized by our church. We know you've been baptized elsewhere, but that's not quite good enough. Or you need to speak in tongues because every real Christian does that. Or you have to make sure that you know large tracts of the Bible in your head and What do you mean you don't know where that verse is? How terrible is that? Or you have to have a quiet time every day, and if you miss one, suddenly, oh. You have to go to a Christian conference once a year at least to show that you're a real Christian. Now, all those things are not necessarily bad, but when they're used to make a Christian feel inferior, when they're added as a necessity, then actually we get into a problem. And that's what's happening in Colossae. They're in this place. And so Paul, in this passage, which is initially sort of quite, I think, a bit confusing, Paul is dealing with the danger of mere religion. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink. What these false teachers were doing was passing judgment. And in doing that, they were undermining the Christians. They were saying, we can tell you how you can know that you're really an on-fire Christian. But in doing that, they denied something and they demanded something. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. Now, the Colossians were having problems with their food and drink, which shows that the teachers have gone beyond the Old Testament. The Old Testament food laws have now been superseded by human-made laws. They've added to what is there in the scriptures. They have made a new commitment. And these new rules were being used to show whether you were a real Christian or not. Now, let me ask you, are you one of those people? I am, so I'll put my hand up straight away, who at the beginning of the week makes a list so that you can tick off what you do during the week. Are you also one of those people who has to add things in if you've done them but forgotten to put them on? Why is that? Because we love to have a tick list to show that we are succeeding. And that's why these teachers were attractive to people, because they were giving a tick list. If you don't eat this, if you don't drink that, tick the box. Show you're a proper Christian. And that's what made them attractive. Now, Paul is not anti-discipline. He's not saying we shouldn't have any discipline. We'll come on to that in a minute or two. But what he will not bear with is when human-made rules are made compulsory for you to show that you're a real Christian. That he won't allow. Because he won't allow that there are different classes of Christians. You know that slightly annoying thing on a train where, sorry David, where the first class bit is completely empty and the rest of it is heaving? And you go, if only I was in the first class bit. Paul won't have that there's a first class bit and a other bit in the Christian faith. These Christians at Colossae were beginning to find that they were having others judge them by what they did, by human-made rules. And they were beginning to judge themselves as well. But this religion also demanded things. Therefore, do not let any judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. The teachers looked at numerous festivals and celebrations. They said you need those for Christian maturity. The words actually cover annual, monthly, and weekly celebrations. The truth is, what they were doing was saying, unless you attend enough of these things, you won't be a real Christian. Now, the scriptures encourage us to meet with God's people. Don't go, oh, that means I don't have to be here anymore. Please don't go there. That's not what he's saying. But these extra things that you must do. Paul says, don't let yourself be judged by mere human things. The danger is, you see, we make what is useful into what is mandatory for Christian maturity. it is clearly useful for us to read the scriptures on our own. That's right and proper. But it's not mandatory that you do it in a particular way, or at a particular time, or for a particular length of time. I was really helped when somebody said to me, "Do you enjoy spending time with your father?" And Dad was still alive at that point. I went, "Yeah, I do. I really respect him. I love spending time with him." "Then why do you find it so hard to spend time with your Heavenly Father, who you respect a bit more?" It started becoming a work, I must tick the box. It became, I must spend time with my Father. And that was much more attractive. We need to be careful, you see, that things that are good and right have not been made compulsory for us to think that we're okay as a Christian. Paul knows that in Colossae there is a danger that religion has taken over. And so he addresses that and gives an answer to where it's become a tick list of what you do. These are a shadow, verse 17, of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Paul sees that the false teachers inhabit a shadow land. It isn't here that Paul is despising rules. We'll come back to that in a little bit. He's just despising human rules. He's saying, all you need is Christ. These are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. All spiritual reality, all spiritual fulfillment, all maturity and vitality is to be found in Christ. Now, the false teachers, as Darren said last week, weren't going, "You don't need Christ." They were going, "You need Christ plus." And that's still a danger today. Let no one lead you back into the shadows. But you might say, how might we experience such a danger today? Well, the writer to the Hebrews recognized one such danger. And he says that Jesus is our only priest. And because the Church of England has confused us really by calling me a priest, well, everybody is a priest. Because of that, the danger is that we actually go back to the old way of thinking, that we need somebody between us and God. And do you know how that happens? Let me tell you how it happens. I would probably have enough for a deposit for a house if I had had £1 for every time somebody said to me, "Anthony, could you just pray this for me because you have a direct hotline to God?" As if somehow I've got a better line than anybody else. Then we're back in shadowlands. Christ meant all of us equally can approach the Father. Paul wants us to be clear that we don't settle for religion. And notice quickly as we go through, because I want to get to the rest of it, that these people are enthusiasts. "Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person also goes into great detail about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idol notions by their unspiritual mind. They have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow." These people are enthusiastically teaching what they teach. They are enthusiastically saying, "We've got a supernatural experience. Let us tell you about it. Let you enjoy how clever and proud we are, the experiences we've got. You'll be so amazed and excited." But actually, what they have become is proud and rootless. They are out of touch with Jesus. And you might think that could never happen here at Christ Church St. Andrews. It could. If you have ever read any church history, you will have read of churches that have just subtly started to go off the track and have then become places of just no life. These folks are committed to their cause, though the cause is a wrong one. What the Christians at Colossae, what we need for growth and fullness is to hold on to Christ. We have to do that individually, and we have to do it as a church family. And what will we experience if we do that? We will experience fullness and freedom. You see, what the false teachers were offering was freedom, but actually they gave you bondage. What they were offering was fullness, but actually they gave you emptiness. It is in Christ that we see true fullness, true freedom. Verse 20. Since you died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world, that's just a description of how the world works. Why, as though you still belong to the world, do you submit to its rules? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch. These rules, which have to do with things that are destined to perish with use, are based on merely human commands and teachings. Paul understands that actually if we go back to a series of rules, we lose the freedom that having Christ and the gospel brings us. Now we have to be careful here. Paul is not saying you can jettison all the Old Testament and all the rules that are there. He is not saying that. He's saying it's the man-made rules that you have problems with. And the rules of the Old Testament were not man-made, they were God-given. And so, who knows the verse before the Ten Commandments? This is it. I am the Lord your God who rescued you from Egypt. The Ten Commandments were there to show a rescued people how to live as God's people. They work like that today. They tell us, a rescued people, rescued by Christ, how to live. Paul is not saying, don't have any rules. He's saying, have freedom from man-made rules. Have the freedom that you experience amazingly when you come to Christ. I worked out that tomorrow I will have been a Christian for 50 years. That's quite nice. Well, it's very nice, sorry. Nothing to do with me. Kind of you to applaud, but I know it wasn't me. I don't think, well, no, I know, I would not still be a Christian if it was just a list of rules. It's about relationship. It's about a God who loves me. It's about a God who gives me freedom to be the person he wants me to be. That's attractive. A list of rules is not. We know that a list of rules cannot on its own sort out our sinfulness either. Such regulations, verse 23, indeed have an appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. We know that, don't we? Rules on their own don't stop us. I have the privilege of being away last week in Cumbria, and it's, by the way, a long way away. As we were driving down the motorway, 7 hours, as we were driving down the motorway, and do you know, people weren't keeping to the rules of the speed limits. Wasn't that a surprise? Except when a police car entered the motorway. Suddenly everybody was doing 70 miles an hour. Why was that? The rule hadn't changed. There was just a motivation to keep it. Rules in their own won't keep us from sin. The motivation has to come from the relationship we have with Jesus. Why do the rules in the Bible work? Because they're in the context of relationship. Why will human rules never work? Because they're not in the context of relationship. So this morning, where are you? Have you subtly slipped into religion rather than relationship? Today, God calls us to recognize that all we need is Christ. The reality is found in Christ. He is the one from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. If we as a church family, if we as individuals want to be growing as God wants us to grow, we have to focus on Christ. It's as we live out our relationship that actually we will find ourselves being transformed, enjoying the freedom that only Christ can bring. Where are you today? Enjoying the freedom that relationship with Jesus brings. That's his desire for you. Will you let him set you free? Not free to do whatever you like, but free to be the person he's created you to be. Because do you know that is the thing that will attract people to Jesus as they see you becoming more like him? Because of your relationship with him. Let's pray together. Where are you this morning? Have a moment's quiet. Perhaps you're in a place where your relationship with God is in a really good place and you just want to thank him for that. But perhaps you're in a place where it's become a bit more like rule keeping. And you need to come back and ask God that in Christ you will enjoy the freedom that relationship with Christ brings. Father, thank you that for us as a church family and us as individuals, Christ is the one who brings growth. Help us to value our relationship with him, for that to show, you know, the transformation in us so that we become more like Christ. Thank you that the Christian faith is not about rules made by humans, but it's about the freedom to live in relationship with the one who created us and loves us and redeems us. In Jesus' name, amen.